on the map.
When I got there, I understood why. There wasn't much to it. And we visited Allendale United Methodist Church to do a week-long mission. And we just kept going. And every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, twice on Sunday for 27 weeks, we met with God. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people came through the church. People from 8, 9 different states across America, some from Canada. People just got word of the Allendale outpouring and turned up. And I believe, in fact, it's a conviction of heart that Dan Garvin and Ron Fernio, because in Ron's church in Augusta, Georgia, a few years previously, the same thing happened, that these men carry something. That they've had that privilege, that honor to shepherd, to pastor, to host an outpouring of God's Spirit. Many leaders around the world pray for it, believe for it, would love for it to happen, but the truth remains that only a few get that awesome privilege and opportunity to host something that is supernatural, that is just an extended move of God's Spirit. And these two men who've come amongst us have had that privilege. And tonight is, well, Pastor Dan's last night with us. Tomorrow we're going to send him back across the ditch, back to the US. They need sorting out over there and he's got to go back. And I don't know about you, but one of the things I've really loved over the last few days is to hear this big, deep, booming voice going, "Come on down, God! Come on down!" I just love it. But that's the heart of the man. Just that simple heartbeat, "God, come on down." And it was that heartbeat that I think unlocked a move of God's Spirit that was just phenomenal for 27 weeks. So Dan, it's with great privilege just to ask you and Donna to come up to share your hearts with us tonight before we release you tomorrow morning. Mind you, depending on what's happening tonight, perhaps we'll end up staying. Let's give Dan and Donna a warm welcome.
Oh boy. God is good. Must be some folks here, Brother Jules, that's never heard that. God is good. All the time. All right, now we're back in America. Craig, you don't know, we don't want that. You know, Brother Craig's right. I do carry something, about 250 pounds too much. Praise the Lord. We're excited. You all heard of Elvis, haven't you? Elvis Presley? Yeah. I think I saw him at McDonald's the other night eating a jelly donut. He ate a lot of those. Thank you very much. You know, he's always going around singing. But we don't want to go home. We have fallen in love. But I think that we might come back and play later, if that's okay. We got to do a wedding when we get back home, or I'd probably stay a while, but we got to go home and get that took care of. If I don't, my daughter would hang me. And it's not her wedding. Lord, I wished it was. I'd like to get some of them little things you carry around and spoil and send home. Praise the Lord. But Brother Craig kind of sprung something on me here, so I would like to share with you, and I think it's something's going to encourage you even more about what God's about to do in your city. And the thing is, you're doing it right. You're starting right here. You know, you're not going out there somewhere. You know, that's not the way Jesus set it up. He said, start locally. Start in your own backyard. And then you go on out farther and a little bit farther and a little bit farther until pretty soon you've come all the way over to America and helped us. I tell you, we need it. Our country needs it. You know, we sent out so many missionaries and that we forgot to stay in love with Jesus. So Brother Ron and I have had this privilege of being able to stir some folks up. And then here we are together, and with Brother Craig, and we're excited about that. So, but I would like for the mother of my children, the love of my life, accept Jesus, and she knows that, and she has no problem with that. She knows he comes first, but I also know that he comes first in her life too. And I just want her to be able to he'll say something before I cry.
Thanks. Put it on me. I just want to thank you for making us so welcome here. From the very first moment we walked in, we just felt that we belonged here. You have, like I said on Sunday morning, when you go anywhere and God's children are there, you can feel comfortable because you're with family. And I feel like we have met a lot of family. So I want to thank you for your kindness and all that you've done for us while we've been here and making us feel that we are a part of this wonderful move that's going on here because we can feel the Spirit of the Lord here.
Amen.
As I said, some of you were there Sunday morning. Show up. Show up. God can't do anything for you if you don't show up. Your flesh may not want to be there. Your flesh may not want to get up and come into the house of God. But if you do not get your flesh there, your spirit isn't going to be there. So you have to get there and worship. Dan all has a little saying. Sing until you feel like it. Pray until you feel like it. Worship until you feel like it. And that's where, and that's when God comes down. When you don't really want to do it, but you do it anyway. That sacrifice is what he loves. The sacrifice of praise. So I hope that each one of you will keep showing up and that you will bring others with you and that the presence of God will just continue to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And the more that you've been asking for will continue and you will receive more. I think some of you are going to be surprised at the more that you're going to receive. I think it's going to be more than you've ever anticipated. God is so real in this place. And if you can't feel it, you just hang on because he's going to show up. More and more and more. But you've got to be willing to accept anything and everything that he has for you. We found that out in our 27 weeks. We just kept showing up, and God kept coming down in these miraculous ways that we never even thought were possible. When you stand and you raise your hands and then you bring them to you like this and they're just full of gold dust and you look at the person next to you and their hair is just gold and sparkling, you know God has shown up. When you see the purple mist coming into a room and it just hangs there for no reason. It just hangs there. You know God has showed up. Now this didn't happen in our particular meetings, but we hear that in the United States right now there's a place that diamonds are falling because the presence of God is coming into their services. We're going to find out where it is, and we're going. We're going to show up.
speak with.
I want to find some of those diamonds. I've seen the gold dust. I've seen the manna. I've seen the purple mist. And I've seen the miraculous things that God has done. But I want more. So I'm going to show up wherever I can to find him in a more and real way.
Amen.
God bless you all.
Thank you, baby. Now you see why I married her. Now you see why I allowed her to marry me. Praise the Lord. I had the privilege of going today to Wesley Chapel. I was talking to some of you, and some of you said you've never been there. And I said, don't worry about it. In America, we have all kinds of things that we never go to. But you folks all come over there and go to them, you know, and then we feel bad because we have never been there. And, you know, like, well, you live in America, you should have been there by now. I go, well, I know, but I have to wait till, like, Craig and Jenny comes over, and then they load us in a, well, they get in the back seat, and then I drive them a great distance, and we'll go look at something. I seen something in your church that I thought was really cool, or, I mean, interesting anyway. Out here on this filing cabinet thing right here, you got that sign that says exit. Then underneath of it says prepare the way of the Lord. Getting out, I guess. I don't know, but I thought that was pretty interesting. There's an exit sign that says, prepare the way of the Lord, you know. And I thought, that'll preach. You better be writing a message about that, because preparing the way of the Lord means we're exiting. You mean, that's what we're doing here, wanting to prepare the way of the Lord. But I just love the covenant that Wesley had written down, that he had made with God. I want to read it to you because I think it's very significant for what's going on here. And it's kind of some of the stuff that we used to holler to God. He said, I am no longer my own, but yours. Can you say that? And I want to tell you, as we're doing this, if you ain't saved, tonight's your night. You're going to get saved. I'm not going to say, I hope you do. I'm just saying you are. You know, I'd rather say that because that's what I believe. I believe when you walk in the presence of God's people or where God's presence is, you can't help it. When you meet the lover of your soul, when you find somebody that you just can't really stand not to be around and you want to be with all the time, the next thing you know, you're saying yes to God. But his covenant says, I'm no longer my own but yours, so we're going to do what Craig started to say there just a minute, so I want you to repeat this. Don't worry, I'm not going to hurt you. It's cool enough that I'm not even perspiring tonight. Yet. All right, repeat after me. I'm no longer mine but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. You're doing good. We're about done. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Praise God. If I had enough, if I knew he was going to pull this on me, I had all of you bring a little bag of salt. And we had made ourselves a salt covenant. Do you understand anything about the salt covenant? It's just like Brother Jules and I was going to make a salt covenant, and he'd carry, in those days, they'd carry a little bag of salt with them everywhere they went. And we would make an agreement, and he'd open up his salt bag, and I'd open up my salt bag, and I'd take a pinch of my salt, and I'd put it in his pouch, and he'd take a pinch and put it in my pouch. And it's hard to break that, but you can if you want to. You can break a salt covenant. But you got to go in. I have to go into his pouch and take out the exact grains of sand that I put in to break it. or grains of salt to break it. That's kind of hard to do, isn't it? Make a salt covenant. God made a, and Jesus made a blood covenant for us. They walked amongst all those cut pieces. And I thought of all that when, before I sent an email off to Craig. I was just, oh Lord, I want that. I'm tired of it. And I don't think I ever really shared this with Craig, but I love the story in Luke about the widow who went to the king. And she started bugging him and bugging him and bugging him and bugging him. But I want to read it so that you can hear it for yourself. It's chapter 18 of Luke. And Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me for mine adversary. And he would not. Now, I like the way this way my particular reading set up. He says, and he would not for a while. I love that. Women know how to get you, men. No, I'll tell you, they'll come in, you'll say, no, I'm the head of the house. I'm the priest of this house. I'm in charge here. And they'll come back in. Or you don't eat for 3 weeks. There's a way that they get you. You know, so for a while you'll resist. And that's what this judge did. He said, it says that he would, in verse 4, and he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. Folks, we trouble God. We bugged him and bugged him. We caused him so much grief. When Brother Jules or Paul or Nick was trying to seek God's face, they couldn't get an audience because we were bugging God. We just kept doing it and doing it and doing it. We wouldn't give him any rest like he needs it, you know? We were constantly saying, Lord, come on, you know, avenge us, for the enemy has come in and he's filled our hole up, filled our well up. We don't like the idea he's filled our well up. We got some rocks in our wells that we can't pull out. And we need some help to have these well opened up. And eventually God said, oh my Lord, send down an angel to bump that boy in the head so he can look over in the corner underneath the desk below about 3 feet deep. There's a bunch of books in the back here behind all them books full of cobwebs and all kinds of dust all over it and 3 or 4 dead bugs laying on it. He'll find that tape of that guy I want him to have come. That's just about how it worked, you know. And we found the tape of Craig's testimony and we brought him. Ian, and the rest, as they say in our country, is history. The important thing is don't stop bugging God. Stay right after him. God never reaches down and just knocks the tar out of you. That's a thing from Mars. I don't know what you knocked out of you over here, but I probably don't even want to know. There's tar over there. And just keep up and keep up and keep up. Don't stop. People say, well, it's just like... Someone said, well, you know, there's certain things that we should be asking God for during all this. And I said, well, name one. And whatever they named, I'd say, why not? We should. Do you have that problem? Let's ask God to get rid of it, because when he starts to fall, you being the local church, I don't want you infected by anything. I don't want you to have problems with that. I'll tell you what, if somebody stepped up and, let's see, we call it toe jam over in America. It's the little dirty things between your two toes, and you don't wash them for a month or two, you know. Man, we'd call that toe jam. We'd find out, yeah, toe jam, we'd get you down and scrub it out. Because we wanted you to be presentable before the Lord God Almighty. But, as you see, I'm kind of large, so I don't know what presentable would necessarily meant. But open heart, open heaven. Open heaven, open heart. It worked in circles like that. One of the things that we did after we started bugging God, and Craig came along and helped us get this started, we put up prayer stations all over the place. And we'd stop at each station and we'd pray. And whatever that particular phrase was on that station, we'd pray, God, do that. Bring that in. We'd be praying for healing, or we'd be praying for teenagers to come in, or we'd be praying for the lost loved ones of some kind, or healing, or we praying against cancer. And I suppose America is the only place that has cancer, huh? It's everywhere, isn't it? But we watch God heal people from things like that, constantly take care of things like that. And I think I mentioned about the prayer bowl. Man, get you a prayer bowl, fill it up with prayer requests, and then watch people come up and say, oh, I put something, you can take my name out, because what I prayed for has been taken care of. We didn't know how all that stuff worked, but it worked. We trusted God for that stuff. We finally bugged him enough that whatever we asked for, he just kept granting it, kept granting it. There was an open heaven. I mean, it doesn't take me a whole lot of understanding and thinking to figure out if there's an open heaven, start grabbing everything that was coming through. If it's like it looked like it was going to shoot south and go down to Georgia, well, I grabbed it real quick before Ron could get it. Oh, Brother Jules, this will excite you. One night, about the second row back, there's a man come in from Chester, Illinois. Him and three of his people from his church. In our country, that would be about a 4-hour drive, maybe? Three-hour drive they came to be there. The altar service time come. He gets up. He comes front. Well, that happens a lot anyway. And then I'd ask if somebody would like to testify or anything. He gets up. He says, I've been a Baptist preacher for, I don't know how long, 7 or 8 years at that time, wasn't it? He was at this church for a couple of years. He said, I just got saved for the first time in my life tonight. He said, I thought I was saved, but he said, I heard the word preached tonight. And he said, I was not saved. See, it don't make any difference. You know, sometimes we think we're saved because we're associated, don't we? You know, we go to church for a long time because we think we're saved because we sat in the pew because Grandma did and Grandpa did. And if you're sitting in one of them pews, then you're lost because you're in my Grandpa's pew. You need to get saved and get your own pew. I mean, sometimes that's the way our thinking is. And he got up, testified, stayed for another night, left. And to this very day right now, he has revival going on in his church because he got up. He wasn't going to let Satan embarrass him. All the time we had river flowing. I just preached a revival about a month ago at a good pastor friend of ours. Name's Marvin and Connie McCormick. They came into the church one night because someone drug them in. I like dragging them in. That's so cool. Kicking and screaming. Yeah, that's all right. Praise God. The Bible says any way you can get them in, scare them to death if you have to. And you say, well, that's not the way we think around here. Well, you ain't thinking like the Bible. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in that Bible you need to be thinking like. Get like-minded. I read somewhere in a book somewhere where you're supposed to be like-minded with God. It was in the Bible, the Holy Bible. It's in the Holy Bible. That's where it's at. But Marvin came in and his wife had been so devastated by people. Has anyone ever been devastated by other people? Hurts, don't it? You know, it's like, if it wasn't because God would be mad, you'd shoot him. You'd do something to him, you know. I tell you what we do to him. Pray. We pray for him and God gets him. He sticks him. He sticks the Holy Spirit on him. You know, the Bible it talks about the hound of heaven. And he sends the hound of heaven after them, nips at their legs, trips them up. Then we go with four men in a stretcher, and we pick them up and bring them, carrying them in. We tell them, don't worry about bleeding to death. You're going to get healed here in just a little bit. You're going to be able to rise up. Praise the Lord. But Marvin came, and his wife was just destroyed. She didn't want to have nothing to do with church, nothing to do with people any longer. And worst, she didn't have nothing to do with God no more. And she said, farthest back she could find, and then a little farther. And it took her 2 or 3 nights, but she kind of eased up a little bit. And we got to praying with her, got to encourage her. One night the Holy Spirit nailed her, and the lady came up with all the tears just rolling, a broken spirit like it should be. And her husband, Marvin and Connie now, pastor a church, they were never ever going to be in ministry again. They were done. Never have anything to do with it. But they showed up one night. She would, bless her heart, she was a sweetheart. She'd come. She'd get about where you are. And she'd look up at the river. She didn't want to know she wanted to go up there very bad. But she got up here. maybe because you moved, I don't know. You know, and pretty soon she was up here, and see, if you get too close, pretty soon you're just drug in. It don't make any difference. You get in. She got wet. And all of a sudden, she wanted to do what God wanted her to do. They never dreamed that God was going to put them in a pretty large church in what place called up Tilton, Illinois. It's up around Danville, Illinois. And they're now pastoring a church up there, all because a bunch of people loved on them. A bunch of people got tired of the way things were, and they started hollering at God and saying, "Come on, God, avenge us. Avenge us because of what's been going on. Come down here, Lord." And that was a battle cry of mine I've had ever since this started. "Hey, God, come on down." And he would. Oh, he would just come down. I don't know if it's because I wish you'd shut that up or what. But when he got down, when he got in there, he'd go, "Oh, sick people. Oh, people needing saved. Oh, people over here wanting renewal." And next thing you know, God's up there just dancing with you, twirling you around and everything. The only way I can dance is with him. I can't dance no other way. And he started doing all those wonderful things. And then he done some things. Every once in a while, he thinks we need humor. So Brother Craig's preaching one night. And he's about right in where you guys are sitting. And he gets, now you have seen in the physical people who are drunk, intoxicated. I've lost them, brother. Inebriated. They got a lot of liquor in them, you know. Well, I can't wait for the night that happens to him, because it does to him a lot, but it's not because of that, it's because of the Holy Spirit. You ought to see his legs. You have to try to carry him, you know. And it's like this, and you're just doing your best to try to keep up with him, and then you're holding him, and his legs are like this, and then you go, he looks at you and goes, "Hi." Well, in your country, do you have a phrase about getting even? I've got the video of him, better than any picture. He's sitting on about right there on the front pew, and this poor lady sitting there, scared to death of this guy sitting next to him, but she's afraid to move. She's sitting there, she's looking down at him, and she gets tickled. He's sitting there. He looks over and says, "Hi. I'll pray for you." She wasn't sure about that. He was a point. Turn that off. We got him on film, brother. Anytime you want to see it, I'll send it to you. Do you have a television network down there you work with? All right. He gets spaghetti legs that night. We lived about 2.5 blocks away. He liked to walk. He's down in the middle of the street. You know, going into the parsonage of the church. Drunk on the Spirit. But you know, little town, 550 people, they don't see it that way. You know, "I knew that church, something's going on down there. Every night there's a bunch of cars down there. Something's going on. And I heard someone say something about new wine." Next thing you know, the word's out. Although it seemed like the crowds did increase a lot. I don't know. But that, I can't wait for that to happen to Brother Jules. Those big long legs of his. I can just see that, man. Oh, somebody take pictures. I want to see that. Yes, it is. It's coming. Something else that we found was just, in our country, we have... I'm going to speak a word real slow so maybe you guys someday can get this. Air conditioning. For the chubby people from America. We have air conditioning in the church, and you know, to run the air conditioning, we had to run it 24/7. And even then I was soaked. I mean, you get we have a church that seats 140 people, and you get 300 people in the building, and you punch about 188 of them with all you get down the aisles and everything. And then you got everybody standing in the hallway doors, their heads poked in. You know, you get all that going, and it's hot. But we're running this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. At that time, with the prices of things, what are you talking about? Oh, Father God. You gave me this to take a drink. Is this a little shorten my method? That thing on? I hope not. Oh, you're bad. But at that time of the year, our electric, our utility bill would run about between $600 and $700. So that'd be 350 pounds. We'd get our utility bills, and they'd be 70 pounds. They'd be $140. And I'm not the brightest bulb in the box, you know. I'd be scratching my head, and I'd be going, what's up? We need to check the meter. I don't think the meter's working right, you know. It took me a while to finally go, oh, God. God's been showing up here, hasn't he? You know, all that kind of stuff. He knew the burden of the finances on something like this. And he took care of that. You know, we're going around looking, well, this gold dust is falling. We're getting these envelopes out, and we're going. And we're getting pretty good full envelopes. But like I said, God is funny. He turned it all kind of oily. You know, the bank didn't want it. You take it in there, and what is this? That's gold dust. Got my milk. I spilled my milk from my cereal in it, but it's all right. You know, we do that. So he is not going. You leaders that have come together believing for this, let me give you some good news. God's not going to come and have a party in your house that he's also going to bring everything to eat. He's going to supply all that's needed to take care of the expenses. And if you think the giving may not be where it's going to be, God's up there. He looks down and goes, no problem. I'll just lower the utilities. I'll fix it all. He took care of all that stuff constantly. And, you know, we had two bathrooms, had one stall for each herd. You know, it's whatever. You ever notice that at church? You know, the one lady would get up to go to the restroom, and then 40 would get up. But you wouldn't do that during the outpouring because 50 would come in to try to get those seats. Yeah, you just didn't do it, you know. We used to do a thing. Remember the cell phone thing? We'd tell people to take their cell phones out, hold them like this, lay them on the floor, and stomp them. No one did. But they did shut them off. You know, our outpouring, we had a platform like this. So when me standing up on a platform that big saying, turn off your cell phone, they did. You know, they're going, he's big. Our chairs came all the way up here, you know, to get people in. So when you're standing there looking down at them like this, they're looking right up this. And it's like, man, I'm not going to mess with him. And besides, you know what he does? He blows up your nose, so you don't want to have him messing with you. Hey, where is this? No, I'm going to embarrass her. Last night, I'm right here. Sister Joe's and Nick's with me, I think, weren't you? This lady comes in. Oh, bless her heart, I love her. She's just had a great spirit about her. And I think she's pretty new. If you're here, I'm not going to embarrass you unless you want to be. But man, it's so neat. Until she said she suffered with asthma. Oh, how many is here for the first time? Oh, man. I don't know if I want to tell the nose thing or not, but okay, I won't. But I said, okay, you believe God? Here's what we're going to do. Open your mouth. I took a big gulp of air because I blessed what the Holy Spirit told me to do. Right in your mouth. I know it's disgusting, isn't it? It is. I ain't going up there because that big chubby guy ain't blowing in my mouth. Ain't going to happen. I don't care if he is a visitor from America. He ain't going to get up there and blow in my mouth. He ain't even going to touch me. I'm going to the little short guy. I believe the little short guy's going to have something. Besides that, he can't get high enough to blow in my mouth. She goes, well, sort of, that's my version. Well, she dropped. I don't know what's happened to her since, but praise God, I believe that God touched that lady right here in the midst of what's going on. It's just the beginning, folks. It's just the beginning. You haven't seen anything yet that's going to come. I got to at least tell you two more things. One night we had, I don't know what you call them over here, probably the same thing, but we had some witches come in. You know what I'm talking about when I mean witches? Help me. Okay. And they didn't conceal it. They come in all in their dark garb and everything. If you're called to be an intercessor, let me tell you how powerful your prayers are. These come in, they plop down. We found out that it was spread out all over the internet that this was going on. And I read one thing about our outpouring. This one person was really tearing it down and talking about there was nothing to it and all this stuff is wrong. And it never been there, Ron. But they was publishing it all over the internet. And so that's how they found out about this. And quite frankly, I was quite honored that they came. I mean, Allendale, Illinois, and Craig's famous saying got around our neck of the woods, Allen where? No one knew where Allendale is or was. I mean, 550 people, nothing. Well, me, I was there, and Donna. It's just a strange thing that God did, but it was an awesome thing that he did. Anyway, they come and sit down in the back corner, and it's just how God made things work. The intercessors looked around and go, oh, man, you could see their little antennas. All the intercessors. You intercessor people got these little antennas, man. All of a sudden you start sensing something's going on. And they're going, vroom, vroom. You know, they get up, you know, vroom, and you can almost hear them. And they get up and they go back there and they sit right down all around them. And these two witches sat there the whole time going. And then afterwards, they just sat there. They couldn't do nothing. We go back there and say, hey, how you doing? So glad you're here. And I go up and say, pray for my hand. I've touched one of them. And they just couldn't say nothing. You know, they wouldn't receive nothing. But they were bound up. They couldn't do anything. And so they decided one night was enough. And they left and never came back. One of the things that's been happening right here this evening is you've been laughing a lot. I've said this the other time I spoke. And don't come up afterwards and give me a lecture on, you shouldn't be knocking yourself. I'm not. But I'm not the most eloquent preacher. I sing a little bit, but not all that much. And I'm not real good at that. But God put the joy of the Lord in me. And it's my job to help make you laugh. Laughter will open you up. And Brother Craig's going to come a little bit, and he's going to talk to you. And he's going to have an altar service, and he's going to show you what's going to happen next. But he's going to open up, and the Holy Spirit's going to start dancing with you. And hey, God, he's going to come on down. He's going to do some things. So I don't have no problem with that. My job is I'm an intern for the greatest doctor in the world, Dr. Jesus. And my job is to get you laughing so that you can have healing. That's all part of it. Sometimes you got to have different kinds of medicines. You know, they all work together, don't they, Ron? Different medicines that work together, and then they make you well, just like Doc could probably tell you about. But The same thing happens in our spiritual lives. We need different kinds of medicines brought together sometimes. Some people bring the word in a powerful way, like Brother Craig does. I mean, those that's heard him knows that. I bring to you the joy of the Lord. Nehemiah talks about the joy of the Lord. It's my strength. And the Lord spoke to me one time. He said, this is what that means, Dan. It means that it gives me, God, when he's speaking, he said, it gives me great pleasure to be strong in you. Makes God happy to get strong in you. It makes God happy on the saddest day of your life. I'm just going to get strong inside of you. I'm going to be happy inside of you. So he raises up inside. He rises up inside of you and he becomes happy. I say, God, get happy in me. Get happy in me. I can beat myself enough, and like many of you have done, you've beat yourself enough. You've stood in the mirror and said, well, I don't like your big nose, or I don't like your big ears. You know, I don't like all the other big parts you might have. I don't like none of that. You know what? God looks down and he says, man, I think you're awesome. I love you like you are. And I do get arrogant sometimes about who I am in Christ. I'm going to heaven. I know it. I'm not hoping I go. I'm not thinking I'm going to go. I know I'm going. And after in a little bit, we're going to get an opportunity to see if you want to go. Not right now. But I wouldn't mind that too bad either. Maybe we just wouldn't have to worry about this big outpouring. We'll be up there. Praise God. Before Brother Craig comes, I want to read something to you that was a follow-up. And I thought, man, I'm going to ask Brother Ron what he thinks about that, because he started here. But I want to finish up with some scriptures that he had started reading to you over in Ezekiel. Chapter 47. And Ron talked about getting in that water, and that water coming out from underneath that door. And it's got a little deeper and a little deeper. And now for me, you know, this may sound funny, but for me, this was a tough thing for me to do. Because in the natural eye, I almost drowned once. And that was the end of it for me. You know, someone told me, you're a doctor, is this true? Is it true that you can drown in a teaspoonful of water? Oh, I thought it was a joke. Now he tells me it's the truth. I guess I'm going to have to quit drinking water. You know, and so I got afraid of it. And I've been prayed for and prayed for. I went to church camp once. And a bunch of young boys and girls, I'm talking to them about, oh, I don't like airplanes, don't like boats. And then one of them, like about your age, stood up, said, Brother Dan, I just believe you should trust God. I wanted to send him home. I wanted to send him home. At home. So they all got a hold of me and drug me down a water slide. I'm all the way down. And the clothes I had on, I wouldn't slide. So they're dragging. I mean, they're dragging me. They had my wife standing there, not helping, laughing. You know, and here I'm being drugged down through that thing, and some got on the back of the slide, and they were shoving me because the clothes I had on. And my wife was walking alongside me. She said, when you fall in the water, just stand up. I fell in the water, and I'm going back down again. And I got over, and there were stairs to climb out, but I climbed up over the side, dragged myself out, and threw myself in the back. Oh, I almost died. It was only 3 foot deep. That's the truth. Yeah, she was there. Stand up. I'm in water over my head. And that's kind of the way the outpouring seemed to me. Man, I'm way over my head. I'm over my head. I don't know. I'm going to drown. And so I just did. I drowned. I just died. I died to self. Died clean out. But listen to this. This is, I think, very important for what's going on here in this service and beyond. Oh, that sounded like, who is that guy? To infinity and beyond. All right, Buzz Lightyear. All right. Very good. Cool. Yeah. You can tell who watches the cartoons around here. You and me, girl. You and me. I like Shrek, too. You like Shrek? Yeah. What about the donkey? Nobody thinks about the donkey. Everybody makes fun of the donkey. You know? I like that. Praise God. My next job's going to be a stand-up comic. And start in verse, let's just start in verse 7 of chapter 47. Listen to the words, Holy Spirit, let them hear what this really saying. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Now if this sounds different than yours, I'm reading now the King James Version. That's why it may sound different. I'm not sure if the pastors in this area has ever told you, but the King James Version is the version that Jesus preached from. I think I'll be in a debate later. I'm going to lose it too. Okay. Then he said unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea. Do you feel like your area is like a desert? Parched? Think about that while we're doing this. Which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. Water's flowing. If I understand what Ron was sharing with us last night, some of the deeper stuff that I got from that was that water's coming out from underneath the door. This could be the door too. It could be flowing from the throne room into this place, and it's coming out underneath the door, and it's rising, and it's rising, and it's rising. You know what it's doing? It's going to be healing. It's going out into a parched desert called London, or just your area right here. And it's going out, and it's healing. It's going out to heal. Okay. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whatsoever the rivers shall come, shall live. I mean, it ain't no different. You're going out, what is that road down here, that street where at Camden something that's all those young people are? That one. You're hired. That's two. She's two for two. One more time and you win. What's behind door number 6? That crazy show you have about what is that thing, that quick start or whatever that is, that game show at night. I want to throw a brick at that man. He's on his, oh, 3, 2, 1. Now call me right now. I mean, it's crazy. Oh, well. Now we'll slip more word into you. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, whatsoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish. You see, I'm always looking for God to show me something here that means spiritual. And to me, there's a lot of fish in the sea out there, isn't there? The ground out here was desert, and they're out there going flop, 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 flop. You know, and they're all over the place. And the water's coming in. And the water is healing water, and there's going to be a great amount of fish. Who? Oh, yes. Get ready. We're going to have a fish fry. Because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live, whether the river cometh. In other words, everywhere it goes. Ain't that cool? I mean, isn't that okay? Everywhere the river goes. You know what? How many's been up here in the river? You're carrying it. Look at me, I've gotten wet. You come in here, you get wet by the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Is Craig, what does Craig say? We almost had a round going there, you know. That's right. The longer you soak, the wetter you get. And when you go out, you know, you're walking around, letting your head at home, you know, it all just falls off of you. I read in a book somewhere where the shadow of some people, oh, it was in the Bible, that the shadow fell on people and healed them. Wouldn't that be so wild? Somebody walking in said, oh, the little skinny short guy, not the big guy, he had no shadow, but the guy comes along, this little guy comes along, and his shadow touched me, and I was healed. I don't understand that stuff, but man, I want to have it happen. I don't, I'm not even crying for understanding. I'm just crying for presence. Presence. Verse 10, it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from now. There's those names, but let me do this. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon the banks of the river called London. You are the fishers. Even unto, I'm going to change that, all of England. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. See, folks, what God has done here is brought together some churches that's hungry and have been dry. You've been having some nice services, no doubt. God's been moving. You praise ministries. Oh, you know, they're powerful. They stir God's heart. But it's been nice and wet in here. It's been wet in your churches. It needs to be wet out there. You know, what good is it if Brother Craig comes or Brother Ron or myself come and we spend some time with you? And all it winds up is that we all get wet in here and we dry off or we leave. It's been for nothing, really. It's been a nice thing. But I've been hearing people crying out, I want my city changed. I don't want my city to stay like it is. I don't want my corner to be like it is any longer. I want it to be changed. So get in the water. Get it good and soaked all over you. Clear down through the inner being of you. Go out. You're a fisherman. Cast your net. It don't mean you go stand on a street corner and go, hey, yo, reprobates, come on in here. That's not what it is. You just go out and be Jesus. And what did Jesus do? A lot of things, but you know what? The one thing he did more than anything is he loved people. He just loved people. And because he loved people, when they got close to him, when that lady with issue of blood reached in and touched him, she got wet. She got wet. I'm not trying, you're not exalted above Christ by no means. But there's people waiting to touch you, to receive from you, because they see something in you. So let Brother Craig, by the power of the Holy Spirit, work through him to light your fires. It's a fire that can't be drowned out. It's the only kind of fire, the Holy Spirit fire, that actually ignites water. I read that in that book too. They filled that trench at around Mount Carmel that day around that altar. And the fire came down and it burned up the water. licked it up. Let that be what happens here. It's our heart cry that I stand on the front porch of the old house I live in and I turn towards London and I hear you out there going, hey, God, send it on down to Allendale. Send it on down. Come on down to Allendale. And I'll be standing hollering back, come on down to London. I can pray harder for you than myself. And I got a suspicious feeling that it's easier for you to pray for others than yourself. So let's make a deal. Let's extend, let you all extend your hand to me, and I'll extend mine to you. Come on. We're going to do this handshake. Now raise your arms up and down. We've just shook hands. We agree that I'm going to pray for you and you're going to pray for me. And any time the devil comes and gets after you, do this, if I can remember it. Me and the devil had a tussle, but I won. Me and the devil, we had a tussle, but I won. Now me and the devil, we agree. I hate the devil, and he hates me. Me and the devil had a tussle, but I won. You got to get that in your head. Get that in your heart. Don't be afraid of something that can't hurt you. All he can do is go, booga, booga, booga. He can make noises. Is he powerful? He's got a little. Brother Craig's going to come, and as he does, you got to do one thing for me. You can do it right where you're sitting. That book you're reading talks about the devil being under our feet. That's right. You need to raise up your foot and stomp him. And you need to start walking like you've got him under your foot. Here's how it's done. You go. We love you. I hope you've grown to love us. Someday we're going to come back and play again if you'll let us come. You have our prayers from America. We'll keep in contact the best we can, and Brother Craig will let us know what's going on. But while he's here, jump in the river. Let him pray for you. Let Miss Jenny pray for you. I know I embarrass them when I talk about them that way, but I've grown to love them so much. You ever seen the movie? What's that movie? The little funny fuzzy things? Gremlins. You've seen the movie Gremlins? Have you ever seen that? Who can pick a between us? Who's the one that's wet? I'm wet. He is a stripe. This is Stripe the Gremlin that popped off. Praise God. So don't be afraid to get in the water and get wet and become a Holy Ghost gremlin. God bless you all. We love you.
Will you stand in the presence of God and His house? See, this is the heartbeat of God, that He would release the river of His presence in this place, that you would come and soak in His presence. Jesus Himself said this, that if we being evil and know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more would the Heavenly Father give the gift of the Holy Spirit to them who ask? It is the heartbeat of God to ravish your heart, to bring healing, to bring peace, to bring change. But you've got to get out of your seat and step out. Jesus said, if you will draw near to me, I will draw near to you. The minute you step out, the minute you reach out, the minute you cry out, He begins to move. That's the heartbeat of God. Hear the word of the Lord this night. For surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor His ear too dull to hear. But God says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear. And what God was saying to the prophet Isaiah is this, that His heartbeat is to reach out, to touch, to heal, to save, to change, to bring peace. But for some, there's something between you and God. It's called iniquity. It's called sin. There's stuff going on in some of your lives that you know are not right. And for some, you've cried out to God, and you've cried out to God, and you're wondering when is breakthrough going to come. But the truth is that there's compromise in your life. And it just causes God to, and I know it breaks His heart, it causes Him to turn away. So He cannot hear your heart cry. And do you know what these meetings are all about? It's about you having an encounter with God that you'd never, ever be the same. That you would come and stand in His presence and know healing and know peace. But it's also a time, just a time in your journey of life where God gives you opportunity to get right with Him, to do business with Him, to stand before Him and say, Lord, have mercy, forgive me. And it's such the heartbeat of God that He would not have it that you'd not get that opportunity. And the thing is this, is that you'll never, ever, ever be able to stand before God. Now, whether you believe this or not, or accept this or not, or like it or not, the truth remains, you will stand before God and give an account of your whole life, the end of your days. And you'll never ever be able to stand before God, you see, after tonight and say, Lord, I never had a chance to get right with you, to deal with that issue, that sin, that habit. Because in just one moment, you're going to get that opportunity. Let me tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to pray. We're going to invite you to close your eyes, and we do that so that Dan can whip amongst the rows and steal your purses. No, not really. Can you see him on his hands and knees, sneakily crawling between the rows? I don't think so. We do that because there needs to be a moment where, without distraction, you can do some personal introspection. See, I think God wants to speak to some of you just about stuff going on in your life. And we want you to take this moment, to seize this moment, to do business with God. To stand before him and say, Lord, I know I've compromised. I know at times there's stuff going on that's not right. So in a moment, we're going to ask you to take this moment to close your eyes, to hear the Word of God begin to speak into your heart. And I'm going to pray and invite the Holy Spirit just to move row after row after row. And you need to know this, that he's going to do that. He's just going to move row after row and begin to speak to your heart about your relationship with him, about compromise, about sin, about lukewarmness, about lack of intimacy. See, these meetings are about us just giving you that opportunity to have an encounter with God, to deal with stuff, to know healing, to know peace. And you'll have to make a choice in just 30 seconds. And the choice is that in just a short moment, you're going to be able to go home. You can say, well, he was a funny little bearded man from Illinois, wasn't he? And go home. Or you can make a choice that will change your whole life. A choice where you'll need to come out of your row and come up here and just do business with God. It's a sovereign moment. It's a moment in your journey of life that God's just giving you to stop and to do serious business with him. He loves you too much to let you go on the way you are. And so these moments, these times, these meetings are all about you just having that encounter with God. This is a serious moment. This is not a call for healing. We'll do that later. It's just a call to take a moment to do business with God, to deal with stuff. For some of you, it's going to surprise you just a little as he just begins to speak to you about attitude, about hurts that you're carrying, but it's become a block and you know it. Tonight, you've got to let that go. You need to stand before God and say, Lord, forgive me. I've held on to that offense. I've held on to that hurt. Some of you are doing things and saying things that you know you shouldn't. You suddenly find yourself letting rip, and tonight he wants to deal with that. Tonight he wants to touch your heart, to release you from that burden, that which you're carrying. And so I'm going to invite you to close your eyes in a moment. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to invite you to step out of your row, and you won't be able to do this business with God hiding back there. This is about stepping out. Jesus was not crucified, hidden away in the back lot somewhere. He was crucified naked upon a hill for all to see. And you can't do this business quietly sitting back there. You're going to have to step out and come up here. And we're going to lead you in a prayer that will change your whole life for all eternity. It's going to change your destiny even. So you don't have to worry about what you're going to say. What you're going to need to do is in a moment come out of your row and come up here. Seize the moment. You don't know what tomorrow holds. Do you know in this land, in this nation, there are people this coming weekend who are planning to have holiday, and they'll never take that holiday because their life's going to come to an end. You're trying to scare me, Craig. Yes, I am. You don't know what tomorrow holds. A few years ago, in the morning rush hour traffic in Auckland, New Zealand, this is true, a man was driving down the road just in his vehicle, just his little car. They said he had a cigarette hanging out of the side of his mouth. There were people that reported this, and they had his window open, his elbow hanging out, and the radio blaring, the morning radio talk show, enjoying the morning drive into work. And on the other side of the motorway, and there's about 4 foot high concrete divider between the lanes. You know what I mean. And on the other side, a truck coming the other way had its differential. I don't know much about vehicles, but it's something to do with underneath the vehicle. Break loose. Come through the window. Took his head off. They said the vehicle went 100 yards before it finally ground to a halt. It happened so quickly. 1 minute this man's driving to work. He just kissed his wife on the cheek and was going to work. And next minute, it was over. And when I read that story, it was all on the news. It was a horrific accident. It just happened so quickly, instantaneously. It just so reminded me, life is short and our days are numbered, and you don't know what tomorrow holds. And God in His grace and His mercy brings together just times in our journey of life where He arrests us and says, now, today, tonight, surrender. Deal with that sin. Deal with that issue. Deal with that tendency. Deal with that attitude. Deal with it now. He's begun to release a river in this place. Something's begun to happen. But I don't want you to lose sight of the seriousness of what God wants to do. He wants to deal with your life. Here comes this moment. I want you just to close your eyes to hear God speak to you. Holy Spirit, I thank you that the river of your presence has been released and has begun to flow in this place. Thank you, Lord, that at this time, you would bring together men that have hosted a move of your Spirit that brought us to come together in this place to have an encounter with you, that we would never, ever be the same. And tonight I ask, Holy Spirit, speak to their hearts. Just row after row, sweet Spirit, just sweep over this place. Speak to them about compromise, about sin, with their lack of intimacy, apathy, a familiarity with you but no passion. This left-hand group as you face the front, this whole block, here he comes. Row after row, Holy Spirit, speak to them now. Do you know him? It's compromise, you know there is. He's speaking to you right now about just sin, about stuff that's going on in your life. That weakness, that tendency, tonight he wants to forgive, to cleanse, to change, to restore, to strengthen. Hear him speak to your heart. Sweep over this row, Lord, row after row. This right-hand group, now's your moment. He's going to speak to you. Row after row, Holy Spirit. Sweep through now. Speak to their hearts, please. Speak to their hearts about carrying offense, sin. Speak to their hearts, Lord, about compromise. Speak to their hearts, Lord, about religiosity but no fervency. Speak to them, Lord. Draw them. Thank you, Lord. Speaking to you. Speak to them, Lord. This is your moment in your journey of life. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, or you have, but you know right now, friend, well, you're lukewarm in your relationship with God, and you know that He's been speaking to you just about sin and about that issue and that tendency. I want you to begin to come out of your row and come up here. We're going to pray with you. We're going to lead you in a prayer that will change your whole life. Come. He's calling you. The time has come. No more compromise. Come. Join this one right now. Come quickly. Don't worry about what others are thinking. This is between you and God. Come. He's calling you. We've had fun tonight, but right now, suddenly you're startled. He's begun to speak to you. You've suddenly realized. Oh. Don't worry about the fact that, oh my goodness, I've been in the church 27 years. I function in the life of the church. This is about you and God, and suddenly the Holy Spirit just began to speak to you about, well, stuff going on in your life. You need to come right now. This is your moment. Come. This is your moment to deal with that sin. This is what's been causing him to turn his face away. You've wondered why at times the heavens seem as brass. I'll tell you why. The Bible says it's because of iniquity, because of your sin. Hear the word of the Lord. In verse 3 he says, your lips have spoken lies and your tongue mutters wicked things. That's why you're struggling. Right now you need to come. Oh, you don't make up complete lies. You just, well, you stretch it. You know. Friend, there's no such thing as a little white lie. It's either truth or it's a lie. And tonight he's just speaking to you about, well, you know. You know you changed that story, that situation to suit your case. You need to come right now. You see, it's the little things that God wants to deal with. It will unlock a revival in your life. And you want to know what revival really is? It's an individual thing. It's when this woman and this man and this young person's had their heart set on fire afresh and anew for Jesus, had their heart revived. Suddenly you've got corporate revival. You know how that happens? God begins to deal with little things. And as you stand and be honest with Him and deal with it, suddenly it unlocks Him in your life. It unlocks the power of God in your circumstances. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, for your eye has not seen and your ear has not heard and your mind has not conceived of the things that God has for those who love Him. Understand, He's got so much for you. We've just got to deal with the stuff that's in the way between you and, well, what He has for you. Come. Take this moment. Come. This is not a call for healing. This is about you doing business with God. If you had a badge on and you were going to help tonight, but suddenly you felt God begin to speak to you about, well, stuff in your life, just slip the badge off and come. You'll be able to slip it on later on and be used, but this is about you and God. You see, revival is about holiness. A move of God's Spirit that will affect your church, your household, your church, your town, your city, and your nation is about holiness, righteousness. God just dealing with areas in your life. And as you respond and as He heals and forgives and cleanses and changes, something gets released. These meetings are about enabling you just to have that encounter with God. Come. There are any more now. I'm going to lead you in this prayer. You don't have to worry about what you're going to say. I'm even going to tell you the words you're going to use so you understand and can never claim, well, that little bearded Kiwi lad had me saying stuff I didn't realize I was going to say. So I'm going to tell you the words. And in a moment you're going to do business with God that's serious, life-changing, destiny-changing, for all eternity. You're going to say words like this, Lord, tonight before witnesses, I stand before you to ask for mercy and forgiveness. You're going to thank Jesus for dying on the cross for your sin, that you don't have to pay the price, the penalty, the consequence of your sin at the end of your days. You're going to acknowledge that He died on the cross for you. You're going to make a declaration that's life-changing. You're going to say, Lord, I am yours, you are mine. Come into my life, cleanse me, forgive me, change me, fill me. And as you pray these words, I'm going to lead you in. Know thou this, the Bible says that every sin, everything you've ever said, thought or done that's been wrong is going to be forgiven, wiped away and cleansed. I believe that there'll never be a moment where you'll be never more pure and clean and acceptable for God than right at this moment. And here's the cool thing, it's always an ongoing thing. There's never any limit to the number of times you can come before God and say, oh God, I've done it again, I've said it again, I've thought it again, Lord, forgive me. It's an awesome moment. And you've seized it right now. And He promises not to remember to hold these things against you. Second thing that happens, your name is written or rewritten in His book. And the third thing, which is always cool, so the Bible says angels rejoice, they have a party. Are you ready? This is a moment you're going to do serious business with God. And then we'll open it up for prayer for healing. But this is now between you and God and just those areas that you know He's been speaking to you about. Say these words with me, dear ones. You can't think yourself right with God. The Bible says with your heart you believe something, with your mouth you confess. You've actually just started on the first step of a journey into a revival. Because revival is an individual thing. Here it comes. This is awesome. Say these words after me. Dear Lord in heaven, I stand before you and before witnesses to ask for your forgiveness for anything I've said, thought or done that's been wrong, that's been sinful, that's grieved you. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross, for paying the price for my sin. I acknowledge that. I accept that. I receive that. And I declare this night, I am yours, Lord, and you are mine, and I receive you into my life. For cleansing, for forgiveness, fill me with your Spirit that I'd never be the same. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well done, well done. Yes. This is a sovereign moment. Now, I want you to just put your hand out as if you're going to receive something. I say this every night. If you're going to receive a 50 quid note, you'd be quick to shove that old paw out for it, wouldn't you? Well, put your hand out, because I'm going to pray that you'll now seal this into place. It's okay to be crying. It's just Him touching you. Lord, this is an awesome thing they've done. Seal it into place. Holy Spirit, come now and just seal it into place. Touch them. Heal them, forgive them, cleanse them, change them, seal it into place, Lord. I ask in Jesus' name. Oh Lord, sweep over this assembly right now. As they stand here with their hands outstretched, right now just seal it into place, Lord. Seal it into place. Wash over them, Lord. Wash over them. Wash over them, Lord. I ask in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. See, without repentance, there is no revival. Oh. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Oh, God, we stand in awe of you right at this moment. Oh, Lord. This night, move amongst us in a new way. Let the river of your presence flow in this place, bringing healing, bringing refreshing. Oh Lord, bringing cleansing. sweep over this place, oh God. Father, we've come into this building not just to have a meeting.